Rebecca Koff has got a great piece up on Fox about, and it's about Ukraine and strategy and being able to look downrange. Why don't you, let's get into that, Rebecca, and what's happening. We got a report this morning from Reuters. Defense ministry in Ukraine is now totally coming unglued since there's been reports over the weekend that Zelensky is trying to remove or trying to potentially remove the defense minister. Last week, they were all marching. They were going to pivot out of Bakhmut and all head down to Crimea with the tanks that the Germans and the Americans gave them to liberate Crimea. Now, oops, upon further review, they're saying there's 500,000 to 700,000 conscripts. This is the defense minister of Ukraine. This is not War Room, not Bannon. This is 500,000 to 700,000 conscripts massing on the Ukraine-Russian border for a winter offensive. What's the reality, ma'am? Where do we stand? And how good a job has the Biden regime done in steering this that now has lost, I don't know, 40 or 50,000 Ukrainian civilians, 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers, and they're talking about, I don't know, a couple of 100,000 Russians. So on the before the first anniversary, may have, I don't know, according to what these people are saying, EU and the Defense Department, 250 to 350,000 people dead. Rebecca Koffler.
Yes, Putin is preparing a massive offensive on the first anniversary of this conflict around February 24, which actually is a day after a big holiday, the birth of the Soviet Army. Okay. And Putin is very oriented towards symbolism. So he's assembling this brutal force, massive force again. He is also transitioning from a special military operations to a large scale war, because he has concluded, judging by all the military that we have provided to Ukraine, he has concluded that we are preparing also for Russia's strategic defeat. And so Putin is not just going to, you know, sit back and wait, right? Crimea for centuries has been part of Russia. And the Russians have already warned that if we were to really attack, or we, you know, with Ukraine rather, with our support, they will have a massive retaliation. Biden, on the other hand, has displayed absolute profound lack of strategy and inability to plan. And just like Colonel Derek Harvey said, we have military leaders who absolutely have lost the sight of the big picture. They don't understand the art of war. They think that as long as we provide, you know, stingers, javelins, you know, Bradleys and whatnot, Putin is going to capitulate. But we already know that weaponry does not win wars. Strategy does. And even in Afghanistan, you know, the Taliban and the insurgents, who have no regular army, they figured out how to beat Abrams tanks, right, with the IEDs. So because they're using our reliance on technology as our vulnerability. And so Putin has already approved the action taken by some Russian company that said that they're going to pay $75,000 to first Russian soldiers who are going to figure out how to blow up these Abrams tanks. And so Biden is just basically, you know, reacting and reacting. But it's not just Russia,
But here's what I understand. Bakhmut was this and Zelensky keeps saying, hey, I got to hold that city, because to lose that, there's a couple of strategic crossroads there that essentially means that it will be symbolically I'm giving up on retaking or countering the eastern provinces, which the Russians now say that they hold. But we weren't told. We were told that all this new weaponry was going to go to a major strategic repositioning of the war for a massive spring offensive. An armored, combined arms spring offensive. In fact, the even reason they talked about the F-16s and the jets, you're going to need combat air patrol, or you're going to need, you know, you're going to need somehow to cover the tanks in the armor, and you're doing this combined arms, which is the most complicated in the world. And I'm sure we're going to teach the Ukrainians that in a couple of weeks, right? With no American crews. But the whole point was that we're supposed to have, we're paying $1 trillion a year. We're supposed to have the best intelligence in the world, best military intelligence. how did all of a sudden this narrative shift literally in from the balloon last week to now here? There's, you know, Russia was defeated. There's going to be coups against Putin. The economy's in shambles. Militarily, they're losing everywhere. You just hear it over and over. Washington Post, New York Times, MSNBC, CNN, they're losing. There are no more people. To all of a sudden, the defense, this is the defense minister, not war. The defense minister says there are 500,000 to 700,000 conscripts or new troops massing on the border, and they're about to begin a winter offensive. And oops, it looks like it could be on the first anniversary in a couple of weeks, and we're now totally defenseless, and we need massive weapons, a massive weapons increase. And what they're hinting at is they're going to need American and NATO combat aircraft and American NATO. They're going to need those troops in the 101st Airborne right there in Romania. They're going to be saying Kyiv's fallen. They're torturing and raping the women. We're going to need the Americans. You know, the cavalry is going to have to come and save the homesteaders. You can see how this is rolling. How could they be totally caught by surprise? Or are they lying to us that the because you just don't conscript 500,000 or 700,000, move those types of divisions down there to somebody's surprise. How did this just come about when I thought we were pivoting and going to take, we're going to go liberate Crimea starting in April, ma'am?
Well, two things, Steve. It's wishful thinking, right? They kept saying how Putin is going to just drop dead, right? That is wishful thinking. Instead of really looking at what his health is and assessing it impartially, what happens is this politicization of intelligence. And so they're telling us what the Pentagon and the Biden administration wants to hear. And then the media picks that up because you can no longer take or get as an American person an unbiased delivery of news, of the information. It's all rah-rah Ukraine. Anything you say that is negative about Zelensky, even if it's factual, right, you just can't get it through. And so, and the second thing, the intelligence community has been misusing resources for various, you know, hoaxes, such as the Russia-Trump collusion hoax, right? Because what we must do is really track the real threats and the real adversaries, which is China right now, a looming threat. And we just missed this major, major thing, you know, the spy balloons. And it's not just that, COVID origins, right? The intelligence community didn't tell the true story to the American people where COVID is coming from. The same thing with China right now. It's because you have people who are incompetent. Who gets into the intelligence community, right? It's those who are very easily clearable. There are people like myself, right? People who understand the language, the culture, whether it's Russia, China, Iran, is extremely difficult to get through the clearance process and through the system. It took me 7 years to get into the intelligence community, okay? And this is why you have people who've never been in the country, don't speak the language, and yet they assess the intentions, the capabilities of foreign leaders. And that's why you have all this mishmash, this word salad that they come up with, you know. And the truth is the Pentagon was caught, you know, blindsided with the Chinese spy balloon. And in fact, it's not a balloon at all. It's a collection, intelligence collection asset that was deployed to our country, entered, breached our sovereign airspace. You can't make this stuff up, right? If we can't rely on the Pentagon and on the NORAD, you know, Steve, yourself, right? You're a military guy. You know, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we have a whole, you know, combatant command, the Northern Command, and we have North American Aerospace Defense Command, led by a four-star, and they couldn't get the balloon? What if what about the missile? And then the whole explanation that they didn't want.
They, Yeah, they knew it was. They knew on the 28th or earlier. Rebecca, we got to bounce, but I want to get you back in.
Okay.
The former Israeli Prime Minister Bennett gave an interview of the weekend. I want to make sure I go back to it again and get you back on here maybe tomorrow. But this interview is amazing. He basically says at the beginning of in the interview that Zelensky and Putin wanted a ceasefire or a slowdown, but that NATO in the United States really pushed this. NATO and the United States put, at the beginning of the war, that this is about NATO expansion. We're going to go and deconstruct this thing, but Bennett gave this interview, of which he talked about hours he spent with Putin, hours he talked with Zelensky. This is where the headline is, Putin said he wasn't going to kill Zelensky, but that's, they got a buried lead. The buried lead is both of those individuals didn't want to, they wanted to cease fire on this thing at the very beginning. It was NATO that pushed us. So I'll get you back on tomorrow to do this. Rebecca, how do people get to your book about Putin and how they get to your all your content?
My website is RebeccaKofler.com. I'm on Twitter, Getter, and Truth Social at Rebecca0132. My book, Putin's Playbook, is available everywhere, Amazon and in any store where you buy books. I regularly publish my unclassified intelligence analysis on Fox News, New York Post, and other publications. Thank you for having me, Steve.